everybody. I'm here, fully energized, with my two very attractive co-hosts, Nick and Drew. How are you guys doing?
I
don't have cancer.
That is good, Drew. Congratulations on not having cancer. I was going to ask you about the crater in your forehead.
I was going to ask about the Band-Aid just being put there for an aesthetic purpose.
They saw some questionable spots, so they scooped them off, and now there's a giant notch in my forehead. God is funny. And analyzed the skin and detected no cancerous cells, so we're good.
Good. We're good. Congratulations, Drew. You're living yet another day cancer-free.
But now, all right. Now they took out the Neuralink.
I know. I don't have Neuralink anymore, so...
That's probably a good thing.
I'm going to be a lot less creative, most likely.
Oh, is that what Neuralink does? That's how Elon does it. Maybe Elon already has Neuralink.
Yeah. You can see him reading when
he
talks.
He stutters all the time. It's still beta, so he's...
If you watch him talk, he reads from left to right.
Yeah.
He's always doing this.
That's exactly how that works. Hashtag conspiracy confirmed.
The texts show up in front of you. I know this is... It sounds like it's EV related, but it's not. Tesla purchased $1.5 billion Bitcoin.
Yeah, $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin. Yep.
So we're not talking about the cars. We're talking about crypto because that seems to be and also Marquez, I'm gonna sue you because you gave me that financial advice on Dogecoin and now Dogecoin has gone down and that's your fault, Marquez. No, I'm kidding. But you can tell with all of the disclaimers he gave.
And we should also probably give a disclaimer here. This is not financial advice. Please speak with your authorized financial representative.
Also, everything I've ever said is a joke.
Here's my disclaimer. If y'all are going to take our advice, well, one, you're smart to do so because, I mean, we are.
Number one.
Randy is the watermark of success, ladies and gentlemen.
Clearly.
If you want to look just like me, miserable, tired.
If you want to be the peak human being, you should behave like I do.
Oh. I was going to say,
if you want to be tall, like me, you should be like Nick.
You should have invested in Tesla back in 2018 when
If you want to transcend the beautiful human being and the best human being, you can become like me and have the most minimal human being.
Man.
I hope you don't get burnt out talking about that, because I know you guys had your own tech podcast last week, but
we're
probably
going
to dive into some details.
We need to get into Dogecoin.
Let's talk about Bitcoin.
Yeah, I want to talk about Bitcoin for a second.
So, I should say this on the record. If there's anyone who has a time machine, sign me up because I literally have had a note typed since 2018 that is to my past self, giving myself the investment strategy of Bitcoin. So, I regret not having Bitcoin. Congratulations, Internet.
Oh, wow.
Don't live in that world, Nick. Don't live in that world.
I just feel bad for those people who sold it at 17,000 or whatever.
So, here is some... advice that nobody can hold us liable for. Just like what we say about Tesla, and just like I say about any really investment, like real estate, literally any type of investment.
Apple stock. On subject. Boom.
Get Apple. Woo! Android sucks. Woo! Okay. Right now,
Android
it's
stock.
Still so early. The adoption is so early. This is Bitcoin and Tesla shares. To me, are one and the same.
Okay,
I mean no, but go on.
Yeah, no, the fact that they had to move $1.5 billion in there, that's not the one and the same. I'm saying that the early adoption. We are still in early adoption phase. As more companies pledge. Like, you know, Fortune 500 companies pledge to add their part of their money reserve and portfolio and all that in there. It's still going to cause it will continue to grow. It will plateau. Let me do what Marquez does. And for entertainment purposes only, it is still very volatile. So don't listen to anything I have to say. Okay. But
I just thought it'd be funny if after all the disclaimers, someone was still like, how dare you? You told me to buy it.
Yeah, he told me. He said
you know
it's
YouTube
right there.
Commenters.
Your
you know
honor.
How low IQ they can be sometimes.
Not you, so. The person listening to this show. Not you, but everyone else. Not you. Extremely low IQ.
Everyone who listens to the Talos of Tech podcast is a major Chad, so
yeah.
We're not worried about you guys. We're talking about, you know, fill in the blank.
I came out on record. I put a video out explaining why crypto's the future and the technology. The
Wait,
technology part, I haven't articulated it yet.
When was this?
When did I put out a video?
Yeah.
I don't think I put it on YouTube. I think I put it on Instagram. Instagram.
I put it out to my computer.
Uploaded it to my hard drive.
I put it as a IGTV Instagram video. IGTV thing. I put it everywhere but Twitter. And I definitely didn't put it on YouTube. I didn't put it on YouTube because unless I did put it on YouTube. Doesn't matter. I did put it on YouTube.
What? Is this the Are you talking about the Robinhood thing?
Listen. Hold on. Just pause. Pause. Just
how to get rich with Talos of Tech.
Wait, this is Talos of. I was trying to put another T in there.
Talos.
Tash. Talos of. Anyway.
I'll disagree with you.
Yeah.
Hang on. I just want to reset real quick.
Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast.
Cryptocurrency as a blockchain, as a investment, as a technology, is going to be just as important or more important than all this hoopla we had last year with Tesla and all these other stocks and stuff like that. Not as a result of the Wall Street situation, but as an example of the Wall Street situation that decentralizing money as a whole is now more prevalent, and the technologies that empower this to happen now with Bitcoin or Ethereum, Doge is and all these other ones is really innovative. Mm-hmm. That the only way we can get controlled out of that is if we had that government regulation on internet itself now, as that we were fearing, because otherwise they can't stop the Bitcoin hype and alike from happening as a whole. So, and all these big companies like Apple and Tesla and everyone else is going to pledge some type of number amount of what they would put.
If Apple did it, that'd be interesting. They haven't yet, but
yet
they'll invest in Apple Coin.
No, because
I want Tim Coin.
Tim Coin.
I want Cook Coin.
Slofi Coin. Slowly. What a crypto.
If you
based
got
on
Doge
Slofi.
Coin, what's the equivalent for Johnny Ive's coin? I want Ive Coin.
No.
It's very easy
coin.
To meme, and you can theoretically have as many altcoins as you want.
Yeah.
But I think the volatility will prevent it from being a standard.
So no, I would disagree with you there, Drew. The volatility that we're seeing in the crypto markets right now is fundamentally connected to the trust that people have in the economic system that we're currently using. Because right now, cryptocurrencies is seen as an alternative way to store wealth and value outside of the economic system, whether that's stocks or real estate or physical assets. It's seen as a way to store value outside of that and potentially even grow value. I know a lot of people in my friend circles have specifically looked into cryptocurrencies just because they see it as a quick way to make a buck. That's not really what we're talking about here. I'm talking specifically about holding wealth. And so if you don't have much faith in the current economic system, whether that's the U.S. dollar, the Treasury, the Fed, the Federal Reserve, the IMF, all of the global currencies, the government supporting those currencies. I mean, look at the back of a dollar bill. I mean, what does it say? It doesn't say like
I don't
back
have
in the. I do have a couple. So on the $20 bill, it says. Federal Reserve Note.
A what?
This a Federal Reserve Note is what it is. And this note is...
Is that paper?
This note is backed not by physical, gold or silver in a federal treasury somewhere. This is backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, which to lots of people is valuable. Like, this $20 bill is not something that I'd want to burn, right? Like, this has some intrinsic value because I can trade this $20 bill with a bunch of other $20 bills to get an iPhone, which I find valuable.
Or Big Macs.
Or a Big Mac.
I'm following
exactly.
You.
Okay, glad people are following me. So as long as people are seeing that this piece of paper is fundamentally worth something, then it's going to have value. The problem is, as governments do things that the general person isn't a fan of, such as kind of stepping in and regulating that whole Wall Street bets situation, that is moving people to looking at this as being a potential way of losing value. It could go down. And you don't want to, you know, if you have an opportunity to preserve your wealth in something that's not going to decrease in value, you do that 9 times out of 10. So that's why a lot of people are looking at cryptocurrencies and seeing it as an alternative to the system. And that is why Tesla, I believe that's why Tesla has kind of put their weight in behind it, putting $1.5 billion into cryptocurrency to kind of help legitimize it. Because right now, the reason why cryptos are so fluctuating is it's really day by day the average faith that the average person has in the current economic system. So if there's a lot of faith in the current economic system, if people think stock markets are going to go up, governments are going to not be regulating, businesses are going to grow, then you're going to see cryptocurrencies have an inverse relationship to that. They're going to go down in value because people perceive the dollar as being more valuable than the cryptocurrency. But the inverse of that is true. When the economic system begins faltering, people scurry to alternatives, and those alternatives right now are cryptocurrencies. End of monologue.
I agree with most of what you're saying, but my main point still comes back to if it's not backed by a government or a large agency that a lot of people follow the law of, the volatility will continue.
Yeah.
And if you knew that your groceries were going to cost you that $20 bill one day, and then the next day, because of that volatility, it's now $40 to get those same groceries, but you were paid $20 from your last paycheck or whatnot. People, I think, are treating crypto a lot more like a stock than they are an alternative currency.
I made that preface at the beginning.
That is happening right now because it's so early on, but in a situation,
it's still very untested. It's still very new in the grand scheme of finance.
Yeah,
Bitcoin is finite, and once majority, if not all, most of it, is bought up, it's no longer volatile. It will be what it is, and that's where its intrinsic value will come from on the digital space. Whereas any of the altcoins will have their own reason why. Here's why we're different or better, blah blah blah, from Bitcoin. But that is the case where it's being treated as like a stock and less as a currency. The thing about the volatility now is, and why it's not too late if you wanted to invest in it, is because it's volatile for the reason it's so unsure. So that's why once it becomes more normalized, as it is, it's something, it's a word we all know now. When it becomes more adopted worldwide, it will slowly stabilize, the same way Tesla stock will stabilize after. I mean, it's still growing too, but it's always projected, like when something gets accepted into an index, it becomes less volatile at that point because now it's being tracked. It's bought out by an index fund, and it's only a matter of time before one of these. I can definitely see a Bitcoin or any type of blockchain happening where there is an index fund for it, and that not only validates it but solidifies its placement to a certain threshold. It'll still move like that, but not by big valleys and mountains of the same way. Tesla's being smart though, business-wise, about putting their money specifically into Bitcoin, because if it does well, then they're rich. If it does bad, they can claim it as a loss anyway, and it's something on tax purposes they can claim it as, like, this is lost money. But if it does good,
they'd have to recognize taxes that on it
until
they
pull the money out. Well, right now it's their that's their kind of stacking it in their own way. They're going to win regardless because if they don't have to pay taxes on it like a stock until they pull it out. So if it blows up, that's money that they don't have to worry about right now. If it does bad, then it's a loss and they don't have to pay taxes on it. So that was a business move that they do, and I think Apple will do the same thing at some point, and all of them will, because it's and $1 billion to these companies is it's not a big amount of their overall market cap like
And
Tesla has if about $4 billion. I think it was a good idea. I think it's a wonderful idea. Diversification is always preferable.
Yeah.
And it also causes a domino effect because they're
throwing their weight.
Bought it, which once the news breaks that they did, everyone now has this hype of like, oh, if major companies in the S&P are now investing, then I'm going to invest too, because that means it's probably going to keep going up, and that in return raises the price further. So Tesla, by buying the Bitcoin itself, kind of directly influences the price. So it's kind of a genius move, but that doesn't change my mind on the standard thing, though.
I think this idea of a universal currency has been and will always be around, because it's one less barrier. And I personally would like to see Bitcoin or cryptocurrency as such become a currency and not a stock, personally. If it was just one more in my eyes, it's no different. Do you want to pay with Apple Card or PayPal, like as a checkout option? It's all the same. Do I have a piece of that pie with me? Is at the end of the day, is that what? However I convert it is however I convert it. But I have my options to check out with all these different options. It's still coming from me. It's my transaction that's happening. I would like to see that happen. And if it's easier in the grander scheme of, hey, I need to send money to whoever out in Japan, then it's the same. There's no conversion rate.
Sure.
But the technology inside blockchains is also something that I think that has value. I think it's not worth what they're selling for. None of them are, but there is a value of a blockchain of having an undoctored ledger that tracks everything, and therefore no forgeries can happen. I think there is some benefit in that. To say that it's worth $40,000 or $50,000, I mean, that's not for. I get obviously it's not for me to decide. I just think that that technology is not. I don't think it's worth that, but that's where they're like, oh, we're not using it for that. It's money now. Okay,
I think the volatility of it and the increasing price of it would prevent people from using it as something to buy or pay services, though. In the same way, you would not want to buy an iPhone with your Apple stock, right, Randy?
Yeah.
You would rather hold on to that stock because you see it going up. I think people would feel the same way with Bitcoin. There might be more services and businesses that are like, we accept Bitcoin, but how many people are actually going to be like, sure, I believe this will go up and it'll probably be worth 10 times this in 10 years, but sure, I'll pay for it now. No, they're going to continue to just sell off what they need in an actual government-based currency that's backed, because that's less volatile, and they know that the value of that $20 bill or that $1,000 is not going to drastically increase over time, whereas with crypto it does. And I don't know. I know that Bitcoin is finite, but I know that the sales of it, people buying it, cashing out, is still going to influence that highly, highly volatile, because it's you really only hear about it when it's skyrocketing. Exactly. You know, that's the interesting thing about Bitcoin, is that everyone was talking about it a lot in end of 2017. And it's still around. You occasionally hear about it whenever there's a Twitter scam. And then for a while, it just kind of dies down. As the price goes down, people are less interested in it and doesn't catch too many eyes. But then obviously it becomes a topic of discussion once it skyrockets again. And I could see a fairly similar thing happening where it kind of tapers off and goes down a bit, and now we stop talking about it, and you really only hear about it when people are getting scammed. Send this much crypto to me, and I'll send twice back to you. If you fell for that,
you're an idiot.
Oh, my God. I don't care if it's Mr. Beast who's tweeting it. Don't buy that. Don't ever believe the quick. You'll double your money real quick. But, I feel like unless there's some And with the U.S. government, they can barely understand it in the first place. I have a hard time believing that we're that close to governments officially, like, getting off of an official dollar standard and moving towards a crypto. This is kind of a side tangent, but I feel like it also plays into a factor of the adoption of crypto. It is a finite with Bitcoin. It is a finite number. And that means that basically all of our transactions, which most of the time are below $100 or so, have so many dang zeros behind the decimal point. .000000. And I feel like it's not like a fundamental flaw, but to get people, everyday people, not just tech enthusiasts and not just people who know about crypto, onto it, having your digital wallet and your crypto key and on all these decimals and all these zeros and getting that into the mainstream, how much does this Apple cost? That's it will throw off, unless they find a way of doing, I don't know how possible it is, some kind of like the equivalent of a stock split with crypto, where they decide each Bitcoin, if you have one,
Bitcoin Cash broke off from Bitcoin because of a situation like that, and that can and does and will happen again. And I agree. The numbering thing is not misleading. It's just it's off, but
it makes it hard to explain to grandma.
Exactly. See this infinitesimal decimal.
And grandma's
got to
pay her bills.
This is actually worth more than your house.
Well, yeah.
I think.
And currency is everybody. Not just.
Currency is everybody.
Us. Yeah.
With Bitcoin or crypto as a whole, this exists because of the continuing degradation of the U.S. dollar, for example.
Mm-hmm. Not just the U.S. dollar. All of the other currencies in the world are having a similar...
Yeah. People are doing this because they're betting on their currency to fail. Because
they should.
Our money is failing. It is not...
It does go down
in
value.
An appreciating asset. If you have a dollar... Here's your investment thing. Holding on to your dollar will lose 100% at the end.
Holding this money, is getting less and less valuable every day.
Yeah. More liquidity you have, money you are leaving on the table of growth, which is why people put it in property or put it into stocks or put it into...
Or physical metals. I mean, people have been doing physical stuff for a long time. And
And metals,
definitely.
People are betting on this dollar, this piece of paper, to fail or at least devalue, because it is, and it has, and it continues to. And I think only for maybe if all else, I think if... that logic is to be accepted. That's why crypto will stick around as its new medium as long as we have electricity and a connection, because it's one more diversification. But like what Nick just said, and I wholeheartedly, diversification is important, and putting it into metals is also just as good. Putting it into land, owning your property, is just as good. Anything else?
Real things are fundamentally always going to be more valuable than perceived value. So if I'm holding, say, a piece of silver, this has an inherent value, right? Like it might be valuable as a pretty coin right now, but silver has tons of applications in commercial stuff, in tech. You know, it's half of our smartphones are made out of, you know, rare metals like that. So holding things that have physical value, whether that's land or a car, even, you know, not a car is pretty depreciating, but it has not a brand new
iPhone,
not a brand new car, but
the metal
exactly.
The
well,
car.
Like if you buy a cheaper, you know, anyway. You can be smart with your
Silverado.
Car purchases, all that to say, especially if it's earning you money back.
We have a lot of data to go off of with certain stocks and especially property to equivalent that most of the time it will go up in value over decades.
Yeah.
Whereas I guess that's why I'm more skeptical with crypto, is like we really don't know. We have very little data to work off of how this is going to behave in the long term. We have short-term data.
That's the risk you make as an early adopter.
Exactly.
That's any investment with a start. How's this any different than a startup like, nothing company buying Essential means something's going to happen, and now you can put your money in nothing.
Individual stocks. If you're looking at like more index fund style, you can look at the past few decades they've been around, and you can figure out, okay, they have a decent record with this and that, but Yeah.
You trying to be a venture capitalist? A VC is
in the industry.
In the industry, you being a VC, is that's the risk that you take, is you wanting to invest into these companies, these startups that are buying out other companies and this and that. Tech Altair actually put out a video, which I actually, yesterday, and I really liked.
He's good. I love him.
He's amazing. I'm a big fan of his. And he has this thing called like the Friday Checkout on a different thing channel. And he was talking about how startups really have one of very few paths that will inevitably happen, and only out of all those paths, only one is that it succeeds. Otherwise, it gets bought out, it gets sold, it gets acquired, it gets merged, or it just dies. And in many of those other paths, if you were an early investor before it becomes a community investor, or as a community investor, you won't get your get your money out of it, and that's the risk that you make. But because if they do get bought out, they're going to pay the founders and all the early investors before anything else, before community base. And that is exactly what the risk return fact, these enthusiasts and buying into social trends. What you're saying, Drew, and there is a level of agreement that I have in the fact that Bitcoin's relevant today because it's because of what happened with Robinhood and everything else like that, that brought it back into the spotlight. So it's relevant today, and maybe in a couple months it might be a little quiet, and so therefore it won't start growing again. In that sense, okay, yeah, I agree to that. I think it's so early, and because we don't have data, and it's okay. Another investment strategy. Here's my Marquez thing again. Another investment thing is that it's okay to be very conservative with your money. It's your money, you know. Like, be smart with your money. Don't put all your money into anything. That's very dumb. But with no early data to this, what are you willing to put into it and say, all right, it's a loss. I'm willing to lose all that because that was my risk.
And for Tesla, that's $1 billion.
Yeah, true.
And for Tesla, but what's a billion to Tesla though now?
You know exactly. What I mean? Like it seems like it makes for great headlines, right? Like $1 billion into Bitcoin. But in reality, like you said, they can write that off as a loss if they do lose it. And with their kind of capital raises they do and the kind of money they have on hand, to Tesla, $1 billion is that like we can afford to lose this, basically. Which is why it's probably misconstrued as like we're converting our whole library. That's not what it is.
Transparent, just right now, and say that I have only like I have just less than $2,000 in crypto because I'm so unsure of it, and that's
me
my
too.
Risk. That I would lose. Me too. I have $3. That's technically less than $2,000.
But I'm so
unsure. Yeah, I'm so unsure of it that my equivalent of Tesla's $1.5 billion to me is a couple grand. I'm like, all right, if I lose it, I lose it. And that's just the cost of doing business of me trying to put – this is my – this is the house's money, you know, so to say. I would take – if I was to take profits from something else and allocate it to that, then this is me just play money. I took T-Mobile's money that I had as play money. I was like, all right, I'm going to put it in here. And then that's just it. That's about the extent of what I'm comfortable putting into crypto, even though I believe in it. And I think it's going to 10 years, 20 years from now really have a bigger impact. It's just not my investment strategy. And that's fine, too. That's where I'm being conservative with it. And it's not $1.5 billion, but, you know.
You're also not Elon. So sorry, Randy.
It's
sorry
something.
Sorry to pop that bubble.
I'm also not Elon.
Your equivalent.
Yeah.
It's my equivalent. Yeah.
No, very, very valid points. Yeah. I think I think eventually there's going to be one.
Do you have a lot of crypto, Nick?
Funny you should bring that up, Drew. I thought I did. back to your like decimals and the infinitesimal number of zeros that precede and follow the Bitcoin that you have. a long time ago, back in 2017 or whenever the Bitcoin was first blowing up, you had found this program called, was it MinerGate or something?
MinerGate. Yeah.
Let me see if I can pull that up. Yeah, so MinerGate. And you could basically just install this program on your computers, and it would max out the CPU hashing out Bitcoins. And so, yeah, GPU too. So yeah. Anyway, I did that on my computers for probably like 2 months, and I was mining Ethereum. Anyway, so I was like, oh, wait a minute, the Bitcoin is blowing up. So I like looked up Ethereum. Oh, shoot. Ethereum.
The currency.
And Ethereum. Thank you, Randy. Ethereum. We need to make another t-shirt spelling out how to say that.
Minimalism.
I want that to be a coin.
So I was like, oh, I think I have like two or three Ethereum coins that I had mined over those couple months. And at the time, it was only, I think, a couple $100 at the time. But when I looked a couple days ago, it was like at $2,000 a coin. And so I was like, oh, shoot, I like have like a couple of these somewhere. So I was like, for like a solid afternoon, I was trying to figure out how to find them. Like, I was like, okay, what was this program called? I couldn't remember MinerGate, and thankfully Drew remembered. And then once I got it, I had to like figure out what email and password combination I had given it. And anyway, I finally got in, and I was all excited, hoping to see a couple $1,000 sitting there. But no, I have 19 cents of Ethereum.
Woo!
All right.
Which is...
well, are you going to hold on to it?
Or do you want to cash out? I was thinking of cashing out, but unfortunately you can't, because you have to have, like, I don't know, there's some threshold that you have to have to cash out.
A certain price.
So I'm like, oh, I guess I'm going to hold them.
And I don't
19,
think 16 cents
Randy,
counts.
19 cents. Excuse me.
Yeah, once you get the taxes on that.
What? Yo, you have to hire somebody to do your taxes for this, because that.
How much did he make? Yeah,
19 cents. That reminds me. That's SpongeBob's. Like, all right, what's the? Give me the final score, Mrs. Puff. Six.
Final score.
Woo!
Six.
And how much do I need to pass? Six.
100.
What? You need 600 to pass. You got six.
That was good.
Oh,
I remember that one.
Classic.
Yeah, it's always funny in hindsight, because people can go back and say, like, well, look what actually happened to it. And I, you know, there's only so many ways I can say this. It's very easy to get rich if you know what the value of something is going to be in the future. That would make everything 1,000,000% easier. You can look at a chart and say, see, I bought here, then it would be here. Like, people think they're geniuses.
You want to be here, so you can be here.
But that's the thing, guys. We don't know what's going to happen. As
are you
as
getting
seen,
it?
Are you getting it? It could. The value of most crypto is very speculative based. It's very much not. Well, like Nick said, it's very much not something we could use in the apocalypse, unlike, you know, seeds or gold or something else. I don't know, but land is a different one. So
if you lose, if somebody took out AWS, like just knocked these servers out, you are front-doored.
Yep.
Like you are,
yeah,
door slammed. Right. This is where you have bigger problems on your hands if we lost internet connection. But then I was actually thinking, wow, I keep referencing the Joe Rogan podcast today. They're talking about how they you know, did things in stone, and that's how they transcribed and kept records and stuff like that, and everything is now more digital based. And I've always had in the back of my mind a little bit, like, my whole life is on the computer. If I lost, especially switching out my MacBook for the other MacBook to the iMac, all that's gone, by the way. I dropped everything off at FedEx. iMac has been shipped. I'm waiting for all that. But in this whole process, I'm like, if I lost any of this, like, that is my life's work gone. And I have nothing of physical value, with the exception of maybe some coins somewhere, and I guess the car that would I could sell for something, and that's all I could get for cash. Or I guess the condo as well, but like that's it. Mm-hmm. Everything that I have that has any type of monetary value, I could lose like that.
Mm-hmm.
Gone.
Yeah.
And that's so scary. Yep. So I, at this point where it's like, well, if I lose the internet, I'm screwed anyway, so I might as well double down, which is bad advice. Don't do that. That's bad advice.
I think I'm kind of in that realm, too. If there was a nuclear apocalypse, I would probably just want to get taken out in the blast. If there was some way to survive and start, you know, hunting for food and we go back to the Stone Age, then I don't really want to live that life. That life doesn't seem very fun living at that point. If you spent your whole life building this up of like, you know, I'm going to produce content and I want to make art. And then in the future, it's just like, oh, well, pretty much everyone's dead and we want to, you know, try to find
food. Will the next iPhone have a notch?
By eating.
if that's what you kind of built your whole life around, like, you want to just live so you can walk around and try to find food for the rest of your life? Nah, I'll die in that one. I'll be taken out. I'll command Q on that one.
I don't know if I wouldn't do that.
Don't you preach right, the dark ways to me.
We tried.
I was around when it was written.
Humanity failed.
Control option power button is just the SMC power.
Yeah, I mean, you'll probably be wandering around for a while until some tyrant comes up and enslaves you, and then you'll be enslaved for a few decades, and then you die. It's like, I'm not going to try to live that. You know, I'm just
nah,
tap out.
Baby, I'm gonna Mel Gibson. We will die free. And then, here's
I don't
the problem
live in
with that
world.
Scenario, Drew. If we lost all modern life, like just connections, ties to the world.
So basically, if
so
you move to Texas right
Texas,
now,
or wherever the hell Nick's at in the world, who knows? But
Alaska,
he's barely getting by. He's in Texas, guys. Mm-hmm. If we lost everything about the modern world, I would be mad.
Yeah, I would be too. I'd be very upset.
I would be mad.
I would tweet about it.
I'm canceling this movement because I am not here to have it. But also, to be fair, I would survive in the aftermath of this post.
Randy would do well. Randy knows how to move trees from roads.
Don't start. I'm going to grab you. Don't you start. I've seen those doomsday peppers do their thing, like when it was like a trendy dudes and it had like on Netflix and stuff like that. And I remember watching a couple of these episodes
and they're sitting here in Texas with their water and their heat and their electric generators
I was
and they're
here
just
with
like
my controller and I'm just, you know, clipping through and I just go, this is back when I actually had TV and I'm just like, huh. That looks just like a Marine Corps like field expedition training. Oh, that sucks. Yep. Mm-hmm. And you know what? This image that Drew paints it, first thing I go is like, this reminds me of the days in the field. Yeah, that sucks.
If you knew there was nothing beyond that, like days in the field.
I would try to go to Mars too.
Well, it's the same thing over there. You're just kind of trying to survive in the desert with scuba gear on.
Yo, when he said, he's like, no, no, it's high probability of death. It's not safe. No, going over there to Mars. Like, you're not, it's not good. And like, oh, boy, I'm sold. I still want to go a little bit.
Sounds
fun. No, I'm totally sold. Have you seen the world falling apart? Yeah, I think
your,
off to Mars too,
your Nick
Elon.
Picks would get a lot more boring if you were on Mars, Nick. You'd have a lot less things to take pictures of. Be like,
you would have
a rock.
Lot of Nicks to take
no,
pics
I don't think
of.
So.
A rock!
Oh, my God. Oh, wow, a rover.
Hey, look,
wow, look.
Red.
Dust.
Perseverance. Still
there's
here.
More dust. Look red. Earth is a very colorful planet.
Hey, look, rust.
I would have the most unified Instagram channel, though. It would all
just
be
take
red,
Marsy
color. Or not earthy, but like red, earthen colors.
Marsy colors.
Mm-mm. This is true. No live chats. So we'd have to send letters to each other, type it all out. We'd have to do this podcast. Can you imagine? We'd have to do this podcast by typing. You and Randy would type out your thoughts. I'd type out my entire thoughts. And then we'd exchange, and then we'd type out more thoughts.
Yeah, that could work.
Exactly. Yeah. That could work, honestly.
I could see that happening.
Welcome back to the Talosive Tech Podcast. My name is Nick. I am your co-host.
Fourth welcome.
Today we will be talking about Randy?
12 minutes later. Yes, we're going to talk about why there's a latency happening in this episode.
Don't you try to do a live stream from Mars and you just have to wait like 40 minutes before each message is read? Like, wow. Let me know if you can hear me.
Oh,
40 minutes, goodbye.
Painful.
Thumbs up. Okay, good. You can hear me.
Wait, okay, so much time passed. Why is he giving me the thumbs up?
Yeah.
Hey, you young people.
Speaking of currency, Nick, what did you pay for the best computer of all time?
Oh, my God.
No,
yeah,
no,
I bought a pair of AirPods, original generation. No. Okay.
Let's act like I haven't seen this yet.
All right. This is the best computer
with Intel.
Ever.
Where are
created,
the bezels on the keyboard?
Ever created. No, even though it does have Intel, this is still the best computer ever created. It could be better, but
some
it is
people
still
are very
the best
confused.
Computer ever created. This is true because
Quinn.
This is an audio podcast
as
well.
Quinn
I'm holding
a 12-inch
MacBook.
It has to be good.
I will just say that MacBook was very much hated on, too. Some people hate it.
It was the most It is still the most controversial MacBook. I've gotten tons of hate mail in my Twitter box.
Have you gotten death threats?
Yes, people just like, oh my gosh, I hated that computer. Yeah, pretty much.
It's sad
I'm
that
like ready to
on
move
the
to
internet,
Mars
death
because
threats
everyone here
really
wants to kill
that.
Me.
Impressive anymore. If you say you've gotten death threats from something, it's like, yeah. I mean, it's the internet, dude. There's going to be some.
Oh, is it Saturday?
Have you posted one? Have you posted one?
You can get death threats
YouTube?
For
yes,
doing
you get
anything,
death threats.
Really. It's not like to be like, he got death threats for this. It's like, everybody gets death threats on the internet. That's just a thing.
Welcome
yeah.
Everyone's threatened with death every day.
Or every time you get in a car. That too.
Yeah, that too. Anyway, this computer has a lot of sentimental value to me. It is the computer, the first Mac that I ever like really, really wanted and saved my pennies for, and I got. I had a MacBook Pro and a MacBook Air before this. But a little history on this 2015 MacBook. This is the first MacBook that ever had a USB-C port. Wasn't Thunderbolt, wasn't any of the special things. It was the first USB-C MacBook and one of the first mainstream devices, I believe the Pixel Slate? Pixel, one of the Pixel tablets had also a USB-C port, but this was the first Apple product ever to have a USB-C port. And I was in on USB-C from the very beginning. Back when it was just rumors and leaks about a reversible high-speed connector, I was like, I'm sold.
Me too.
I want this computer. I don't care what else. I will make any compromise.
I don't remember
to get
watching
this,
the video
this
I did, but
that's
I know I was
I
doing
wanted.
Tech videos at the time. I imagine, though, I was very excited for USB-C because one port for everything was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it came out, obviously. It is the smallest device ever. That runs full macOS. It is smaller than my 12.9-inch iPad Pro. The height dimension, the dimension
so little.
Is the same this way, but it is about
is it
2 inches shorter. It's
10?
So small, and it's so light.
I think so.
This is I don't I believe so. Don't hold me to that. It's some it's weird 10. Aspect it ratio. It's not 16:9.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the device here is. Less than 2 pounds, 1.98 pounds, which is significantly lighter than my iPad Pro with the Magic Keyboard. Just about a half a pound heavier than just the plain iPad Pro. So it's extremely, extremely portable and compact. Its main... The haters latched on to two things. One port... I guess they probably latched on to three things. One port, the very slow processor, and the keyboard. I happen to appreciate all of those three aspects of this
what
computer.
A freak.
I appreciated the fact that it only had one port.
I know what you mean.
I'm such a freak. I'm the kind of person who I bought this adapter when I got the computer. It's the Apple USB-C
digital to, AV multi-port
3 USB 3.0. Yeah, thank you, Drew. Anyway, I bought this adapter, and I wanted to prove to the world that with this adapter and this computer, I could do everything that normal people could do.
You're like skating.
So anyone who is like, oh, but you need
you're
to get
chopping down trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chopping down
trees. Yes. I get what you mean.
What the computer, dang it. Yeah, and so it was kind of a challenge because I knew it was controversial. I knew that everyone was like, oh, but you have to carry around a bunch of adapters. And I'm like, no, I got one adapter. It has everything
nice
that I need.
SD
this is
card
still more
reader.
Compact with the small. Yeah. So anyway, I never found the port a problem. In fact, I appreciated the fact it only had one port. Now, living in a world where I'm used to a 4-port mm-hmm. MacBook Pro or a 2-port Mac Mini, it is a little constricting having one, but it totally works. Like I haven't not been able to do something yet. You just have to be a little creative sometimes by plugging something in and charging and then plugging in the hard drive or whatever,
you
or choosing more
adapter.
Wireless options. So there's that. People hated the port. I loved the port. People also really hated the power of the computer. It was running an Intel M5 chip, which is technically a mobile processor made by Intel, which is technically one of the slowest processors ever put into a Mac. And guess what? It runs Final Cut just fine. It's not stellar. It's
what
not
OS
it's not
are you
it's
running?
Not stellar, but it runs Final Cut. So I was running out of the box. It came with El Capitan,
nice,
the OG one from way back in the day, and I still have that on a different partition. But I quickly found that Safari is completely useless because literally no modern websites support whatever version of Safari El Capitan has. So I do have it on Big Sur on a different partition, and both Big Sur Final Cut and El Capitan Final Cut work very well. I was able to edit a 30-minute video without too much, the rendering time was long. I will give you that. Rendering the video took a long time. Took about probably twice as long as the 30-minute video. But I thankfully have a Mac Mini where I'm being productive, and I just set this up, and it was just sitting on my desk rendering. It did get a little warm. I thought it was going to melt. It didn't melt. It was. I thought it would be really hot. It wasn't.
That
really
was
hot.
The.
It wasn't melting. No, yeah. I thought it was going to be at the melting temperature, but it's not melting at all. It's pretty good.
Same experience warm, I had when I reviewed it. It was like real time playback and Final Cut was okay, but when you needed to export something, it was like, wow, you got to take your time.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So once the whole video rendered, I was able to scrub through it. No dropped frames. It was 1080 at 30 playback. So, you know, not the highest quality, but fairly good quality.
It's a standard.
Especially since this is a 2015 computer. It was the standard back then, and I guess it still technically is, but 4K is becoming more and more of the standard. Export and rendering times were not impressive, but it's doable. Like, if I was going to go somewhere and, you know, if I was going to go visit Randy again, which, why would I ever do that? I never visit Randy. I would not drag my Mac Mini along with me again because that was a lot of space. I needed the whole Mac Mini, the keyboard, the mouse, the charger, all that fun stuff. This is just thin, portable, light, and it does the job. So I didn't have a specific problem. And back in the day when I was really using this computer heavily, 2015, 2016, 2017, I was a full-time student. So the heaviest thing I'd ever throw at it would be like a heavy website.
You should mine crypto
on it. Really, I never had any performance issues. I did, actually. Part of those little pennies of crypto were mined on a computer very similar to this one. Very nice. Yeah. And so that was the second issue. The third issue that people still bring up is the keyboard. And I am very sorry to say, y'all are very wrong. 100% wrong.
If your keyboard
failed,
you're wrong.
Y'all are very wrong. If your keyboard failed, it's your fault. Stop eating sandwiches above your computer. Exactly. Stop using the letters that are broken. I mean, you just need to adjust your use
of language. I never hated
the
Magic keyboard design in the first place. I don't mind it. But no, I'm referring to the Magic keyboard. Which is why I wasn't mad that they got rid of Butterfly, because they're running into so many issues with it and people were being so vocal about how they didn't like the Butterfly keyboard. So I'm fine that they ditched it, but when I had it, I thought it was great. I loved it. And I'm with you on that. Yeah. Butterfly was cool.
I'm comparing a Butterfly 2015 keyboard to a Butterfly 2017 keyboard, the 2017 MacBook Pro, and there is about 1/8 the travel of what you're used to on your iPad's Magic keyboard. on this 12-inch MacBook, and I do not like travel. I don't like gushy keys. I don't like it. I love the thinner keyboards,
and this
is the thinnest keyboard. I wouldn't go that far. I need just a little bit of tactileness to just feel the difference between the keys. Now. But this this is the most minimal state for typing. And to be honest, I wrote tons of papers and did tons of research on this on a computer very similar to this. So it is a joy to type on, and it's kind of fun to go back.
So are you going to sell your old MacBook Pro? Is that the plan? And how much of the cost will that offset that of the 12-inch? All of it?
It should be just about all of it. Wow. Yeah.
So how much was it? The 12-inch one, unopened.
I bought it brand new.
Too much.
So much.
I'll leave it at that. Let's just say you think. Yeah. Okay. You don't have to tell me what you paid for it, but you're saying the MacBook Pro will cover the price. How much do you want to sell the MacBook Pro for, Nick?
$8,000, please.
Well, I'm glad you got it, personally. I hope it gets as many software updates as possible, because if your Mac Mini is going to be your workhorse for the high-intensive stuff, and your secondary Mac is just for mobility's sake, and kind of similar to an iPad, you're kind of just using it for web browsing and texting, and just as your Mac, but not your heavy-lifting Mac, then the 12-inch MacBook was built to be the antithesis of heavy-lifting Mac. You know, it was supposed to be cover the basics, but in every other metric, we're going to be super light, super portable, easy to throw in a bag, and reliable, hopefully. So let us know if the keyboard fails. That would be bad. But
I had one for almost 2 years, and I didn't have the keyboard fail. Good. So I have a high level of confidence that this one will be fine.
It was like,
that was good.
That was it. Like, it was the best way I described it to people was that, like, that if you ever want to see Nick drop the act for a second and see how he really behaves, like that moment of just taking it in, I was like I was so happy to just see how happy you were holding that thing. Like it was contagious. I was like, man, I want to love something as much as he loves that. I wish I loved anything as much as Nick loves that.
Anything. Yes.
Okay, Keegan.
I was so bummed out when I read the report the redesigned iMacs aren't coming till the end of 2021. I was like, this is going to be a long year.
Hey, I'm so happy I got the MacBook Air now because of it.
I think it's always reasonable to assume all these reports and stuff talking about mini LED MacBooks or updated. We're always so wrong on the timelines these days. So you should probably, sometimes you might be wrong, but most of the time you're probably safe assuming it's further away than you think, which is why I'm glad my iMac Pro is holding up okay, because if I was in a pinch and the iMac Pro was not holding up okay, I would be very frustrated. I would be like, ugh, now I gotta put up with this crap.
Mac Mini.
I was playing with the configurator.
The Mac Mini is amazing. Just thinking of how I loved using that, and
100% would be my plan B if the iMac Pro failed.
The MacBook Air, I love how portable and light it is. It's no MacBook 12-inch, but it's amazing. I've taken it all over the house, and when I've left La Mesa and everything was just like, oh my god, I miss this. And I don't even miss the iMac. I miss the power that came with it. And then I go, this M1 chip has never, like, I've made a full song on this thing. I have been editing 4K footage, downscaling it though, but still, it never got, I don't feel the warmth on the iPad, or I mean the MacBook Air.
Yeah.
And I go, my biggest fear was like, oh, this is going to bleed into the iPad Pro now. I found where they separate and why I would still keep the two, and if I ever update, I would get the smaller of the configuration. I desperately need this for group FaceTime, and not just with you guys, but it's how I communicate now with my wife and my brother. And when I actually jump on, I'll play video games with some friends at night, and we do group calls like this. And no other experience is better than this. And having the capability to do photo editing now that Nick has given me the photo bug. So I'm always like, I use the iPad for it. Like, it's very, very persuasive you are, Nick. I will give you that. So I use it. And obviously over for thumbnails and stuff like that.
Not persuasive enough to get you in that penny, but
I would say that the iPad has its purpose as it my – I need to be the most like interactive with the pencil or my finger and all that and group calls and stuff like that. That's where the iPad shines. This MacBook Air – or let me rephrase. This M1 chip, no matter where it goes, is – it's like driving an EV. It's – I can't go back. I understand yep. so much more being with this now for 2 weeks. That I can't believe I waited this long. I'm glad I waited long enough to get an M1 chip. Yes. Any Intel I think would have helped me over the iMac issue, but getting an M1
pretty
chip,
much.
We have to wait till the end of the year to get redesigned MacBooks or next year or whatever. I'm not in a hurry anymore because this, if I had to make do with the 2-port MacBook Air, I'm set easy at least a year or two. If whatever it may be, it's not ideal, but it's perfect for me. The only thing that would outshine this in my specific use case, it would get an iMac. I would want an all-in-one again that has an M processing chip in there, and I could use the same workhorse again in a modern configuration. Even if you give me the same bezels and stuff like that, as much as that would irritate me, the performance alone
deals off for me if it's the same design. I'd be out. If they're like, here's the iMac with Apple Silicon, but it's the same chin and bezel, I'd be like, nope,
it's the
I'm
same
out.
Chin.
Mac Mini.
So
Mac Mini. No.
I'm switching to Windows.
No, I
folks.
Would just get the Mac Mini. Use one of my monitors.
Okay, good.
Too many of them anyway. It's you can barely see it on camera, but it's back there.
Drew, I wholeheartedly recommend. I know we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Take the gift cards from Apple and turn some stuff in, and what may be whatever you end up doing. The process of going through all that, coming to completion yesterday, dropping it off at FedEx, it was so smooth. And it's
oh yeah.
Oh my God.
I've sent a lot of stuff back to Apple in my time. I've got picked up a lot of crap and sent it back.
Have you done that cash out option of getting gift cards and stuff?
I did it with my XS Max. I've never done it with a 27-inch Mac before because this is the only 27-inch Mac I've ever bought. But yeah, I've done the process.
Your 27-inch iMac Pro means to you. I would think it means to you the same way what the MacBook means to Nick in the sense that like that was your first real big purchase as a YouTuber
kind of.
That you bought with your own
money. I'm willing to get rid of it now though. That's probably where we
there you go. Never
mind. Nick wants to hold on to his MacBook.
And maybe in 3 years I'll be ready to get rid of this. Nope. I don't know. But I think it's a great laptop.
I wish we loved anything.
But you were pretty decided, Drew, that you wouldn't
get rid
of it. I was
for a while and then I realized that if
it's taking up space.
If it was the difference between like because I have my limits. I'd like to keep it under 5,000 for the next Mac, but I'm willing to stretch it a little bit if it's good. And if it was – my limit is 6. I don't want to spend more than 6 out of ideology because that's what I spent on the iMac Pro. And I feel like from a fundamental level, the tech should be improving to the point that I don't have to spend as much. And so I came to the agreement that it was like, okay, if the iMac Pro – brings the cost down below 6,000, then I could justify getting rid of it. But more lately, Louise is like, no, I want to use it. I want it to be my little editing rig whenever I do some basic computer stuff. She saw the Apple trade-in value and she was like, I bet we could get it for more than that. And I'm trying to tell her, I don't think you could, especially if there's new iMacs that come out and they have Apple Silicon. But she's just saying, well, let's just hold on to it for a few years because I'll use it anyway. So she's not interested in getting rid of it. And for that reason, I'm like, well, okay, well, let's hope the new iMacs are priced right. Because if they're priced way too high, we'll have a different discussion. But because I used to love my 15-inch MacBook Pro too. And I used to think, I can keep this. I love it. It's just having something mobile. And then I kept it for a while after I got the iMac Pro. And then I realized this is really just kind of sitting, doing nothing 7 days a week, and I could sell it and use the money for something else. So that's why I'm hesitant to ever, with any tech, say, I'm going to keep this forever. I'm forever means like more than a year. basically. It's like, until
nobody
I get bored.
In their right mind would give me any real dollar amount valuable enough for me to like trade in or sell my
I agree. That's how I feel about the Mac Mini and the iMac I have right now. I'm like, I know she thinks we can get better, but I really don't. I really think that's about.
If she wants an editing rig, sell the iMac Pro and get yourself like a little Mac Mini or a MacBook Air.
Yeah, she does like MacBooks. I mean, we've talked about in the future when we.
Uh-oh, I'm going to sell Louise on this. Here we go.
I would say that the idea though of holding on to something though for sentimental, like nobody would give me a dollar worth of anything for like my original Apple Watch that it's so small, so it's not taking up space.
Basically worthless.
It's hey, you mean priceless.
Yeah, can't put a price on it.
One man's trash is another man's treasure,
the,
Drew.
You know, Apple edition 24K gold. You know,
those are valuable. Those are valuable.
See, now we go back to intrinsic value. There's an actual.
But that's because it's made of gold.
I love gold.
No, I'm very tempted sometimes because the trade-in value on my Mac Mini is still $480, and I don't care about RAM. So if I got the Mac Mini, I would get the 8 gigs of RAM. I would just want 2 terabytes of storage, which would make it about a $1,000 purchase.
When's the last
time
you used your Mac Mini?
Oh. Last year, months
ago. You're done.
Go to the Apple store. Get rid of it, Drew. Go.
My Apple store is closed.
Stop the podcast. Bye.
But for two, I'm not really planning on buying a big Apple product that soon.
No, I know, but that's still $480 in your pocket.
The Mac Mini's price is only going down. With Intel chips, they're only going down.
But I don't want to go to the Apple store. It's like a big drive.
I'm not saying Apple.
You just order it online. They'll give you a box.
Do the swap thing and let them send you the box and you send it off.
Can you do that if you're not buying anything though?
Yeah.
Yes. They give you Apple Store gift cards.
Yeah. I don't know. I could.
Oh my gosh, Drew! Come on.
I don't have a great counter argument for you. I'm just like in no rush because I'm not buying any big Apple purchase.
The rush is coming from the fact that it's nosediving in value
right now, as opposed to maybe $460 or $440 later.
Yeah,
like
$320. I'm not like, it's not.
And I'm over here like, dude, it's $20, Mister. I know where every dollar.
This is
at.
Going.
We just had a long conversation about the
saying,
value of these $20
bills. All this does
bills,
is put
Drew,
a slight dent in the sales tax. It's not like a night or day. Yeah, it's unplugged. I've factory reset it. It's ready to go. I could do it at any time. So I've just been busy with other stuff. I have a job, you know.
Here,
I
give
have other...
me the Mac Mini. I'll do it for
you.
Oh,
you have a job now. Oh, okay, Mr. YouTuber.
There's a lot
YouTuber.
Of errands.
Fine.
It was my birthday.
If I'm
near an Apple store, I'll trade it in. But I've not been near one in recent history.
You don't have to go to an Apple store to trade it in. They'll send you a box for free online.
Okay.
You stick it in a box and then
I'm gonna
send it back.
It's not preventing me from working, which is why I don't see the rush. It's not like a big bottleneck of my content production. It's literally
it's important but not urgent. I see.
I would barely call it important. It's the difference
you
between
don't call money back important.
$400 isn't gonna make or break any purchase for me. The money has been set aside. The money exists for the next
Mac. So now you have more money set aside.
Think how many Bitcoins you can buy with $480, Drew. Come on.
Let me find the trade-in page here and get you guys.
He wouldn't even get a fraction of Bitcoin for $480 at this point.
No, you wouldn't. No.
No, that's
you could almost
kind
buy
of
a
annoying,
Dogecoin.
Actually, how tiny of a fraction you have to get
well,
in order.
The only reason why I don't even care what the number is for a single Bitcoin is because you don't actually get a coin. Like, go on Amazon, buy one of those little gold coins that's Bitcoin.
You don't get something.
Yeah. So I don't care if I don't ever have a full coin or not. If my 500 or I have like 1,000, whatever I have in there, if that blows up to 2,000, hey, it's a win in my book. I don't care. Whatever.
That's a win.
I love that space gray, man.
That's a cool look.
I know. Actually, don't get rid of it. I forgot.
What do you
that's
want?
Space gray. You should keep it.
No,
what do you want, gentlemen? Can't make you happy. I pick it up and they're like, oh.
I want you to most return it and give it away.
No, I did factory reset it though.
It's
got a fresh, clean copy of Mac OS. There's nothing on it.
By the time we do our next episode, you would have had the box already sent back to you. for you to put it in, and you, it's a quick buck, man. Do it. Yeah.
FedEx isn't as close to me as it is for you guys, but yeah.
No, but they come to you.
You literally just leave it outside your door, and you schedule a pickup with FedEx.
I don't think they do
that.
They
come pick it up.
I'm pretty sure.
They do. I promise.
If you can get Starlink,
they would have been shot by now. They just walk up to the door with nothing and take a box. I don't know. I've never seen that option here. But
last time I was on the air doing this, we watched me purchase the MacBook now with you guys, Drew. Send the Mac Mini home.
Send it home.
Back to the big A.
The serial number, so I'm just. It's a long, tiny.
So while he's doing that, Nick, I got some follow ups with you about your MacBook.
Yes. Let's do that.
It's more so we can
talk about me some more.
Yeah, this is us killing dead air space anyway. But no, I guess
dead air. We never have dead air on this show. Every single sentence is amazing.
We talk over each other too much. That's the
problem. My question about the MacBook and your editing experience is your go to process. Rightfully so, I would assume, is when you're home, you're going to utilize the Mac Mini for your editing and all that stuff.
Of course.
Now, when you're out and about, you're on travel, or you just want to go to that coffee shop, or whatever the case may be for you, is it just MacBook for editing, or are you bringing your iPad, too, to get some of that stuff done in conjunction with either Over or LumaFusion or anything that the iPad OS would offer over your Intel situation? Or what's that process looking like for you?
Eventually it'll just be the MacBook. Okay. If going to the coffee shop is like the only trip that I would take it on. And really the only purpose for going to the coffee shop is to enjoy their great upload speeds. I'd edit and export the video at home on the Mac Mini and then just send the airdrop the final product to the MacBook and then go to the Apple Store coffee shop and upload
that will
it from
still
there.
Be less time than uploading from home, probably.
That is 100% true. It's still about an hour quicker, but it requires me doing something, which, you know, there's that
pish
spend an hour of my time going to the coffee shop or have it upload in the background. Anyway, I would like to figure out some kind of way to do thumbnails and stuff on the macOS, so I need to do a little bit more research on. I don't really want to use Photoshop. I like Over and stuff. Over and Pixelmator are a great combination. I've mastered both of those tools, I think, at this point, being able to do really complicated photo editing, thumbnail creation, all that fun stuff. I was at the coffee shop yesterday with my MacBook Pro because yesterday is the day I realized that I could no longer use El Capitan because I couldn't even load YouTube on Safari. It was just like, no, sorry, it's too old.
That's a problem.
Safari crashed because of a unknown error. Jeez. Or whatever. And so, anyway, I just brought my MacBook Pro to the coffee shop to upload, and I didn't have a way to make thumbnails, so I couldn't post those shows right away. And so I was like, I should have brought my iPad. But then if I'm going to bring my iPad, then like, it's just an extra device, and the iPad is so, like, holding the iPad Pro with the keyboard and the 12-inch MacBook, there's nothing in my mind that would ever say I'd want to take the iPad Pro somewhere if it was between the two. The 12-inch MacBook is thinner, lighter, and all aluminum. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have touchscreen or the Apple Pencil and some of the specialized Over software, which is the alternative that I need to figure out. So, anyway. Yeah, I don't
dream
know.
Mac time for me would
yes,
be
put in dream
M1 in that design with a touch bar and replace the headphone jack with a second USB-C port. That would be
done. Dude. Done. I would never upgrade my computer again.
Thinner bezels too. While we're at it, give it mini LED.
Yeah, thinner.
And you know why I don't need the
1080p
headphone jack?
Camera.
Because headphone jack comes with a dongle anyway, with a USB-C hub.
Mine doesn't, so, but I don't use a headphone jack for anything. So I'd be so out. I can edit videos with AirPods.
I my compromise is I need to have a jack for my monitors. I need that's the.
I
compromise.
Get that. That can be your dream MacBook. My dream.
Well, no, my dream MacBook would still be the two USB-C because
my dream
dongle
MacBook
has a
is something
jack.
I'm already holding.
The iMac Pro has a headphone jack, and I've never used it once. It's still there.
I actually do use the headphone jack on my Mac Mini every day. I have my monitors plugged into that. So.
I would intentionally buy a headphone jack adapter, even if I had a headphone jack, just so I couldn't, just so I wouldn't use it. Jack. Yeah. I'd be like, no, weird it's not
flex,
there.
But okay.
It doesn't exist. I'm kind of digging the idea of a 32-inch 4K BenQ monitor powered by the Mac Mini setup. Oh. Like, it would be kind of a wasteful purchase, but a fun one. That would be fun.
Not if you traded in the current Mac Mini.
Yeah, it's still wasteful. Even then, it would be like $1,000 just so I can have a slightly larger monitor on my desk. No. So I'd be like, I don't know. Kind of hard to justify. I'd rather just invest that in not crypto, but invested in something else. Invested in a high dividend fund and let that accumulate money, or wait for the next. I don't know. If sometimes when you get bored with tech and you want to just mix up things a little bit, I'm just like, ooh, wouldn't it be nice to try this? And sometimes I'm like, yeah, that's why I have a wife. You know, she's able to ground you and be like, no, that's a bad idea. Yeah. But your heart's like, no, but it would be cool. But I'd probably get bored with it in like the first week, and then I wouldn't think about it.
I'm not bored with it. Coming in is like, you get bored with something. That's how I started a band. It's like, no, it's okay. The band's gonna make it.
I came up with a great name for a band this week, actually.
Ooh, pray tell.
Copyright claims. We are the copyright claim because, like, UMG owns everything.
It's death metal because everything it does dies.
And just claim everybody who uses their music and be perfect. Free
that
idea of the week.
I inspired that.
And then in the YouTube studio, it would say copyright claim has copyright claimed your video.
Copyright claimed has copyright claimed your copyright.
Yeah, I would love that. They make a song called The Copyright Claim.
Yes.
That's their one
because
hit.
Of your use of copyright claim.
Yes. That would be wonderful. Oh, man. I want a new Mac, but it's so hard to justify.
That's a testament to how great the iMac Pro is behaving.
iMac Pro is pretty solid. I'm very glad I got it when I did. I don't feel like I was cheated, and I don't feel like I should have waited. That felt like the perfect time to buy because it was right when I was getting my first Blackmagic, which was going to be 4K at 60, and the MacBook Pro was only 256 gigs. So putting all that footage on it was like, yeah, this wasn't going to cut it. But the MacBook made sense at the time I had it, and then the iMac made sense at the time I had it. So I feel like I've got a decent track record with my Mac purchases feeling justified and getting purchased at the right time and being useful for the time I got them, and now using it every single day. Exporting tons of videos off of it. I feel like I've gotten a ton of use out of it, so I'm happy with it, but at the same time, just like, man, this iMacs have looked the same. I'm looking through old pictures from the attic, and I saw this actually from before I was even in the attic, and I was just in the media room, and there was this video of me sitting at my desk with this white iMac, and I was like, nothing's changed, is it? It's like the exact same. I'm watching myself 10 years later, and that basic chin bezel design is still there with the same magic mouse. And I'm just like, nothing.
That's going to be iPhones in about another 10 years. We're all going to be staring at our rectangular squares of glass and rectangular slabs of glass.
I think there's a decent chance my next Mac I will keep for longer than I've held on to the iMac Pro, because I can't think of a great reason.
I mean, you got to start shooting 8K at 60, Drew. That's the only
way. And I'm
way
against
to...
that. I don't think 8K will ever be a standard.
You don't understand. It's going to be so important. Give it about 3 months, and everyone's going to be shooting an 8K at 60.
No, I still fall back on my... I almost made a video. It's funny you brought that up. I was... Spoiler, I was almost out of video ideas this week. I know.
What?
You couldn't tell, could you? But I was thinking, like, oh, I should do a video about 8K because we were talking about it in the Discord, and I was like, I don't think it'll ever be a standard because of the law of diminishing returns, and you can't notice the difference after a certain point. And we were noticing that with smartphones. Pixel density went up, and then it started going down because people didn't notice. So that's the law in effect. And I was like, oh, I should make a video about that. And before I make a video, I try to look at my old catalog of videos to see if I've already done it, and I had made that exact video already. It's like,
just
why,
remake it.
Why 8K won't be a standard? And I was like,
just do dang it. Do you know how many people reuse
just download it and repost it today. Just download it and repost it today.
I would even
say
that.
That's cheating.
Just 8K won't be a thing 2021 version. Why I'm still right.
I'll just react to the old video. Yeah.
And the reaction is you just...
I don't say anything.
Good point.
I just watch it. I'm like, yeah, that was a good point, Drew.
And you bought it. And it's like, hey, yeah. How cool is that?
That's how cool is that? I mean, the Intel to Apple silicon is a big jump, and then the redesign is a big jump. But I'm trying to imagine what a big jump after that would be, and I can't think of one.
The one where we, yeah, that one.
I was thinking between Face ID or 120 hertz, maybe.
Oh, but that's a stretch. Oh, come on. Oh, come on.
We're getting real,
no reason to upgrade an iMac.
We're getting real picky. No, I'm talking like in 5 years. Let's say it comes out at the end of 2021. Also, I really hope they at least unveil it in June, kind of like the Mac Pro. Could they showcase it off so I at least know what I'm saving for, please? Instead of just, man, I hope it's this time. And then next event, man, I hope it's this time. Because that's what it's been for a while, and I feel like that's going to be most of 2021 is me just hopefully they do it today. But like
and then when
5 years from
drop
now,
it on their website, random day in August, they're just like, "Yeah, we have a new iMac."
I'd be fine with that, honestly. I don't, as long as it exists. I've been so patient. I just
and it still has an Intel chip. The redesigned one has an Intel chip,
okay.
But the old design has the M1X.
All in on Mac Mini at that point. I would save a lot of money. I guess I could invest the rest.
That's true.
Not a horrible idea.
Am I just buying things because I'm bored?
yep, it's a thing.
Yep, that's about it.
I'm bored with my ISP. That's why I bought Starlink.
That is the you are. This True. Is the long version episode of I'm bored in the house and I'm in the house bored.
I'm in the house bored. Pretty much, yeah. I was thinking about all the boring tech that's becoming a thing. Also, just as a message to people out there. It's not helpful when you just say, I'm not interested in this subject. You can tell me that by not watching the video. You don't have to click on the video and comment that. If you have topics you want me to go into, just say it. I'm very open to suggestions because Apple is so dry right now.
I have a list of things for you to talk about.
Please, go. Go.
Let me get the notes open. Notes. All right, you ready?
Yep.
Number one. The stretchiness of time. That's a good one. Number two, why you use DuckDuckGo?
I don't. I switched to Google again.
Don't make that video.
Their images.
Yeah, why are we still talking to him?
The image results are not as good objectively.
That is true. But you just, after the end of your DuckDuckGo.
I was doing that every time. That's why I switched. I realized that every time I used DuckDuckGo, I was doing. I was doing the Google image search. I was like, well, why? What's the point? I don't search anything outside of images, really. I've discovered that more recently.
Well,
outside of Google images, I don't really Google things. And if I do, I'm using the smart speaker anyway. So can we switch
Siri? How tall is the Empire State Building? How much fat is in an avocado?
She knows that.
She does.
It's weird. Anyway,
how much fat is in an avocado?
Don't do it.
21 grams.
I will tell you this. 21
Siri's
grams.
A genius.
Genius.
Oh,
sounds
like
good.
Some type of smart assistant.
Smart assistant? Are you saying I'm not, Randy? I cannot believe you.
Well, mm-mm.
You're wise. You're not smart.
Wow.
I said you're wise. That's a compliment.
Is that though?
Is it though?
I don't know. You can interpret that in any way.
I think
I choose to interpret everything in the worst way possible.
If you're out of video ideas, Drew, go through.
You can talk about the iPhone 12 mini.
Go through your catalog, and be like, "Here's something I've changed my mind on."
Oh, I have.
Oh,
when I do.
Well, then you're screwed. That's it. Shut it down. Just shut it down now.
Yeah, shut down Talos of Tech. Yeah. Just upload a video that says, we're just on a season
sell
break.
Sell the IP
we'll be back
while
next
still
year.
Worth something, Drew. Just shut it all down.
Yeah, we're going to sell it off, pretty much. Sounds good. Bye, everyone. Thanks for buying.
Bye.
RIP.
RIP. Goodbye.
Take care.